Miscellaneous. Staff report.
Henry.
Nothing to report.
Raleigh.
No update.
Come on, boy.
I suspect Tim's going to call it a day, too. Karen.
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 No, it's a no. Tim?
The only thing I need to update the board on is we've scheduled the onsite with for TT International for March 28th. So we'll wrap that up.
Okay. Gail?
One thing I wanted to mention, Cicero became a member of NASRA last year, which is a National Association of State Retirement Administrators. I attended their winter meeting last week, which was, I felt really beneficial. The first day was pretty much all, it was pretty much a roundtable with executive directors on a number of different topics. The second day was actually a legislative update from some of the staffers from Capitol Hill were there giving updates on some of the things happening at the Capitol. And they have two big meetings a year, the winter meeting and then the other meeting is in Baltimore, Maryland in August this year. And that's one that some trustees have found some benefit of attending. Some of our other 37 Act peer funds have joined as well and have started attending. We're an Education Alliance member since we're not a statewide plan, so we're not able to vote on any of NASRA items, but it's another source of information. And those of you that attended the General Assembly with CalPERS the last few days, Keith Brainerd, who's their research director, was there talking about NASRA.
I really enjoyed that report.
You did enjoy that?
I did enjoy that report. I like statistics. I like seeing trends, and he gave a lot of trends of things that were going on with the statistics, and that was the only reason.
Okay. Outside professionals, Harvey. Okay, trustees.
Yeah, I want to thank Tim. He did a good job at CalPERS. He got thrown in, I guess, kind of not right at the last minute, but close enough to feel a little pressure. And I think he handled himself well, and he covered the subject matter well. Asked some questions that I thought were pretty good. So I want to compliment him on his effort there.
Thanks.
To you.
Video. it wasn't clear who the cat cats videos. Were, however.
Yes.
You were very, very tactful in pointing out who the cats were. I tried to capture, I think I can do this in 30 seconds, some of what I thought were the most interesting comments out of it. Approximately 50% of private industry employees in employer retirement plans, mostly D.C., so 50% obviously not. 82% of public sector employees in DB plans, about 14 million, with 10 million retirees. In California, 1.8 million governmental retirees, employees, I'm sorry, in DB plans, 1.2 million retirees. Assumed interest discount rates are declining. We heard that frequently. Yeah. Some states are moving to hybrid or DC plans. Employee contributions are increasing. Benefits are being reduced. COLAs are being reduced. In general, more costs and risks are being transferred to employees.
Yeah.
Funding levels appear to have stabilized. No net state or local employment increases during the last 10 years, basically been flat. Winter is coming. For all of you saw that, kind of interesting one. We will not have the interest rate reductions at our back. What he was making reference to was 1982, when we had 14% interest rates in federal government bonds, easing down to today's 3%, give or take. We don't have that. Those all result in gains as those rates go down on bond portfolios. Expect emerging market, Tim's already ahead of us on this, emerging market securities and technology stocks to lead in higher earning higher returns. Co-op funds, for example, an infrastructure fund could be a possible vehicle to obtain improved returns. A I'm not sure I'm wild about it, but Tim may want to at some point bring us up to date on this. Recessions are the most predictive events preceding a market decline, not high valuations. Bond returns will be very low for the foreseeable future, and international markets look positive. There was a ton of stuff. Those are the ones I thought might have be of general interest to us. It was, I thought, a valuable, productive, informative meeting. Jerry?
Yeah, I want to apologize kind of for making you guys a little bit uncomfortable with me confronting that woman, the attorney that was talking. I just have a hard time when somebody tries to represent a group they don't really represent. She was really talking about herself and her husband, and she never clarified that. And I didn't think it was fair to let her go on and do that and make all retirees look like that's what all retirees want. And so I'm sorry for making it a little bit uncomfortable, but I needed to speak up. And I just felt like I needed to.
I don't think there's any need to apologize. I didn't
feel totally agree.
I remember. Hey, one thing at the conference, did you guys like that Two Shoes app that they use where they had all the presentations on your laptop? Or is SACTA's going to do something like that?
Yeah, we are.
Because it was great because surveys and everything is right on there.
Yep. It costs more, but we're going to do it. As far as I know, we're still going to do it.
Yeah.
It's well, we tested it before, it's well received.
Yeah, it's
nice, the ability of asking questions, so you're not passing mic and wasting time handing it back.
One thing I think we'll be able to add this one, if not the fall one, is that ability to go ahead and put in the question. I've been to somewhere, kind of like a Twitter, where they're sending out questions. Was it talking about SACRs? You had something, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that Gabe and I went to the Common Fund Forum and got a lot of the same messages that you had. But that was really very educational.
I think it was my third one. I always say it's probably the second. The SACR is the best one I've gone to.
That's an unbiased report.
Yeah, I think their content's good. I mean, we're not really heavily invested in them, but their overall contents. And what I like is they give like a lot of endowment sort of point of view. So I think it's kind of good to understand. There's things that I like they do, things that wouldn't fit for us. But to me, it's a good exposure to another institutional investment type. I was going to say on SACRs, if you may have noticed, there was a recommended slate, but there's been some changes. So what's going to happen now is that the system themselves can recommend a slate, and then all going to get together and kind of put them together. So if it'd be all right, next meeting, I'd like to kind of give my 2 cents on what I think would be a good slate. And then at some point, I think it comes in April, we can make a recommended slate. It has to be by March 25th. Then come April, they will give us a summary of all the people that have been nominated. Then we would do the final vote in April.
I understand that, and that you'll recommend a slate, and we can talk about that slate at the next meeting. But we have to also vote on that slate at the next meeting, right?
Yeah.
It has to be turned in.
It has to be turned in by March 25th.
Yeah, but still a recommendation.
It's only the recommendation.
Right. It has to be in by March 25th. Yeah. Then in April, we'll get a vote, will be the final vote in April.
If other counties want to do what we're wanting to do here, I understand, there may be as many as 5 or 6 different slates. How is SACRS recommending we narrow it down, or do we just vote on all 5, or is it going to be voting on all 5?
The way I understand it, it'll say President, you know, Smith and Jones, Vice President, hopefully just Rodriguez.
So it'll be.
Yeah, and then we'll say, okay, and I think how I understand one individual, okay, this is the person we'll vote on who we want.
Okay, so individually.
And then we'll submit that and say these are our 4 choices for those positions.
That makes sense to me. Now I understand how we can do it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Any other trustee?
Just a quick thing on the SIP conference. It was I forget who else went to it. It was a fascinating conference. There was probably 20 speakers, an eclectic bunch, and a tough group to work with, but I shouldn't say group, tough schedule. The first speaker was at 7:30 in the morning, and then at night you had an after-dinner speaker. Now, in fairness, the afternoon was free. But when you start out Monday morning or Sunday morning with a speaker on ISIS, and it's like, wow, and somebody on artificial intelligence, and it was a very interesting conference with a lot of eclectic speakers.
So speakers, you encourage the speakers to stay for the whole conference. Yeah. So you're eating lunch or dinner with them. Mm-hmm. And they also, I thought, different than I'd ever seen before, but a good way to do it, they also assigned your tables for at least dinner.
Yeah.
So you were forced—not forced, but
because
I sit with your traditional group, and so three or four or five of the speakers between lunch, dinner, and breakfast, wow, you sat next to, and it was fun.
The first speaker, the night you got there, was Charlie Cook from Washington D.C. fame, and he was there the entire conference. Apparently, a regular speaker, and he was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty interesting.
We had him at a table at lunch and kept him for, I think, an extra hour just about.
The guy from SC was talking about artificial intelligence. It's kind of scary to some degree because he's talking about how well, you know, alternate reality, not alternate facts, but AI is coming closer and closer to reality. And obviously the question is going to be, when do they meet? And you can't tell the difference between the two. And he even talked about some technology out there where they're trying to figure out how to watermark the ones that are phony in such a way. So that when the viewer actually sees these things, they're going to be able to tell the difference. Because otherwise they're going to be so close, nobody's going to be able to tell the difference. Which is kind of frightening when you think about it.
Time for the Matrix.
It's tough enough now. Yeah.
I think it's funny. I was at a CalPERS one time, and they're really the person pushing security, he shows up on the screen, everybody's like, I'd say Jerry Holcomb's iPad, you see how much I can get into it, and I'm saying, in the meantime, while you're doing this, somebody's outside breaking into your car. So it's kind of like, a lot of times the witnesses are sort of gloom and doom on their particular area.
Some of the speakers apparently come to this conference repeatedly. I mean, some of them have been there 10, 15 years or something. Yeah. They come back every year. And I can't share with you what Charlie Cook said because some of it just has to be with himself.
Next year, that would be a good one to go to.
Well, it's interesting.
All right.
So. Well, and let's not forget, from a continuing education standpoint, Dr. McDonald got credit as a first responder during the dinner. So
yeah, that's true. I forgot about
that. Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, the one speaker at dinner was, it was kind of late in the day. And there were a number of people dozing off around. And not because of the speaker, it was late in the day. But one of them was unresponsive, which was not good. God. He did more than just doze off. So our own Dr. McDonald jumped in there.
Did you do CPR on him?
Huh?
Did you do CPR on him?
No, luckily we didn't have to. We were very close to having to do some compressions on him. But he just started to slowly come back. And so thank goodness we didn't have to. But it did take EMS a while to get there.
But we did make a note too that he didn't get credit for that hour. You got credit. This guy was not he was not engaged.
That's a tough roof.
That's a tough roof.
Always is, Scott. Always is.
Don't move. So all the adjourned. We are adjourned, and lunch is available.